the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
We have our last word, presidential experts, the co-hosts of Think You Know the Presidents, Lise Hand and Flor McCarthy, with us. But before we hear from them, let's just hear the first extract that we're going to play for you from the inauguration speech of President Catherine Connolly, in which she spoke of a new republic.
I stand before you humbly and proudly as the 10th president of this beautiful country. The people have spoken and have given their president a powerful mandate to articulate their vision for a new republic. A republic worthy of its name, where everyone is valued and diversity is cherished, where sustainable solutions are urgently implemented, and where a home is a fundamental human right. The change that led to this joyful day began with a small group of elected representatives and volunteers facing what appeared to be insurmountable challenges. We were led to believe that it was too great a leap, that our ideas were too far out, too left, at odds with the prevailing narrative. In shared conversations all over the country, however, it became evident that the dominant narrative did not reflect or represent people's values and concerns.
A mandate of a vision for a new republic is what the president is claiming. Flor McCarthy, can you explain that? Because a new republic would imply a new constitution.
It certainly would, and we're not getting one of those. But, I mean, I've heard of the People's Republic of Cork, Matt, but this is interesting.
Yeah, both of us being from there, yes.
I can't believe we're in the studio 10 seconds and Cork is mentioned.
Two things. I think she's obviously, President Connolly is keeping or trying to the momentum going from the campaign, because there was this coalition drawn from all the opposition parties, or most of them at least, and individuals and groups from around the country. And so if you see that as a movement, then where does it go once she's in office? So the notion of a new republic could be styling that momentum that way. But it's certainly raising a flag, I'm sure, in Leinster House, Lise.
Yeah, I mean, she's claiming a mandate. Is that what was understood by the people who voted for Catherine Connolly to be president?
I think it probably was, because, I mean, they did vote for her for on the president of change, the outsider, the, you know, sort of kicking against the establishment. And I think this language was interesting because it did reflect still not necessarily President Connolly, but she was sort of, as you say, she was throwing back to the actual campaign. And, you know, she was using this language of they were the outsiders, the sort of plucky outsiders. They were up against the establishment. And she went on to use again, and it was you may be playing the clip, but, you know, there was a point where she talked about, you know, having how others had been, you know, she was using words like to silence and to label, to exclude, to other, to stifle critical thinking and so on, which would sort of imply that she sees herself as a champion of the people who want to get outside the normal way of thinking. So it looks like she's trying to keep a foot in the arras and a foot on the campaign trail, essentially.
But do you think that, I mean, in the first few sentences, as you say there, when she was talking about that determined narrative, stifled debate and silence and going against critical thinking, that is straight back to the campaign. That's back to the narrative of the campaign. But is it also, does it raise a question about the media? Is she having a go at the media because, you know, she's talking about the narrative and how the narrative...
But I thought her campaign felt that they shaped the narrative by the use of social media and podcasts, and that they overcame what they would regard as the conventional media. Mm. Let's hear a little bit more of her speech, in which she pledged to focus on peace, neutrality and climate change during her term.
As I speak, I am acutely conscious of the 165 million people currently forcibly displaced from their homes and countries due to war, famine and climate change. We cannot turn back the clock nor close our eyes to these realities. These are the challenges of our times, and our actions or inaction will determine the world our children and grandchildren will inherit. It is both an individual and a collective challenge, and one which obliges us to reflect on the way we live and interact with our world and with each other. It is also the responsibility of those entrusted with public office to come together, both nationally and internationally, to lead and to create the conditions for a sustainable existence on our planet. It is significant that today is Remembrance Day, the 11th of the 11th, 2025. It is significant. It's significant on so many levels, but it gives us the opportunity to pause and to reflect on the horrors of war in a world where, unfortunately, we have all become witnesses to ongoing wars and genocide.
Much of that, Flora McCarthy, would that have been any different to things that Mary Robinson used to say about things like climate change?
I think it is different in this way, in that this was expected, these themes from Catherine Connolly, these were flagged during her campaign as well. For example, talking about inclusivity, about neutrality, about climate change. Climate change is a really obvious one. COP is going on in Brazil at the moment, and also it's the first time that the Green Party has backed a candidate. But it's as if she's setting up a clash with the government, because there's going to be a clear division there on neutrality, because the government's stated position over the past year, and it's increasingly being focused on getting rid of the triple lock. But here you're going to have a clash with the president, who keeps talking about valuing neutrality at every opportunity she gets. So I don't know what happens there. I mean, the office is supposed to be above politics.
And as a listener here, one of the first comments coming into 0874-100-102 says, why does she keep talking about everything she's going to do? She cannot do a thing. She has no power. What do you say to that, Lise?
Well, you see, this is the thing. I mean, she's entering a whole new world now. I mean, she has spent a life in activism, a political life in activism, you know, getting things done, being in opposition to things, to government policies and so on. And now she has stepped into the world where, as head of state, she really cannot, and she, well, by the letter of the law and by not try to shape or criticise government policy. And there was a lot of very active language in this speech.
You were there for it today. You were in the
I was in Dublin Castle. And, you know, there was a lot of active kind of language. And it did seem that she was sending out clear messages. Flora just mentioned neutrality. I mean, she, you know, referred to the long and cherished tradition of neutrality. Now, said by somebody who hasn't expressed such trenchant views, that could be seen as a fairly anodyne statement. But knowing that her views on the triple lock and so on, that does take on a slight political freight.
Well, I asked her when she was in this studio, sitting in the seat you're in now a few weeks ago in the interview just before Election Day, that if the Dáil passed legislation to remove the triple lock, would she sign it into law? She said she would do as required by her job.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting answer in itself, because that would imply that she wouldn't rule out, say, exercising one of the few constitutional powers she has, which is
kick it upstairs to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, convene the Council of State and kick it upstairs to the Supreme Court. So that answer would suggest that...
Well, I'm paraphrasing the answer, but that's essentially what she
yes,
said.
Yes, and I think that, you know, she when she has been asked questions that are perhaps do impinge on her constitutional duties... This is, she has slightly hedged the reply in a similar fashion.
I think it's really interesting that she has a legal background, as did our two former women presidents already. And one of them, Mary Robinson, was very quick to tell Charles Haughey as Taoiseach what she could and couldn't do under the Constitution. But this word mandate that keeps being used by President Connolly is very interesting, because one of the academics in Dublin Castle this morning who was giving her views on the day was saying that, reminding us, viewers, that Catherine Connolly, the president, is the only member of the Oireachtas who has a mandate from every citizen in the country. And though, so is she seeing this as a magnified mandate or a new interpretation of the Constitution? I'm only guessing here.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Lisanda Flor McCarthy, the co-host of the podcast Think You Know the Presidents, which, even though we have a new president, it's still very good to go back and find out about our previous nine presidents and then contrast it to what might happen in this presidency over the next 7 years for Catherine Connolly. As it happens, the last three episodes are about Michael D. Higgins, Mary McAleese and Mary Robinson, and this is how Catherine Connolly paid tribute to her three living predecessors.
In 1990, Mary Robinson, and I want to welcome Mary Robinson and her husband Nick, when Mary was elected, the parameters of geopolitics were shifting following the fall of the Berlin Wall the previous year and the dissolution of the Soviet Union. While at home, Ireland was undergoing its own seismic changes, laying the foundation for a modern and inclusive society. In 1997, 1 year before the Good Friday Agreement, the former President Mary McAleese, and again I want to welcome the former president and her husband, Nick, when she was elected in the midst of the ongoing peace process, a landmark event in shaping a shared vision for the future of Ireland. In 2011, Michael D. Higgins assumed office, and again, I want to pay tribute to his courage and his work. Michael D. assumed office as the global financial collapse shook Ireland and the world. The reverberations of that crisis continue to impact upon and shape people's lives and our economy.
Flor, I noticed there's a name missing there. President Michael D. Higgins' wife didn't get a mention.
I just noticed that as well. No mention of Sabina there. Now, we don't know, was that just a slip of the pen when it was being written or something else? I mean, there seemed to have been a very warm greeting between the two women as President Connolly was walking out of St. Patrick's Hall, and Sabina Higgins even took her face in her hands as she was passing by to wish her well, you know. So I don't know what we can read into that. But
yeah, it's an odd one. Though she did get, Sabina got a big shout, warm shout out from the Taoiseach, Miles Martin, when he, you know, just in his short few remarks before introducing the new president and so on. But yeah, it's sort of odd because, I mean, Sabina and Micheál and Michael D were a bit of a sort of two for one. They, you know, it was very much a partnership in the Arras to a certain extent. I mean, she was to the fore of a huge amount of the events that took place there and so on. But
as was Micheál, who got a mention.
Micheál twice.
Okay, listen, listener here, and I'm reading this as it is. This is said, get to the talking points that women want to hear about. The beautiful suit by Louise Kennedy and how lovely President Catherine Connolly was to the kids from the local school. So, Lise, you were there. Tell us about this purple theme and what was all that about?
Well, it's interesting because it's 35 years, obviously, since we elected our first woman president, who was, of course, Mary Robinson, and who cut an incredible dash on the day because she was dressed in a vibrant purple suit by Louise Kennedy, which now is actually taken up residence in the National Museum of Ireland. It's regarded as an actual historical
artifact.
Now, and it, you know, it cut a huge dash on that day because there was such a heavy male presence on the stage, you know, in the actual hall itself, predominantly male. And it became a real symbol of Manana Héireann. And also it was a symbolic colour because about, you know, in the early 1900s, it was the colour that worn by the suffragettes who were campaigning for the women's vote. So there was a sort of, you know, there was an actual symbolism to it. So the first thing that struck me when I saw Catherine Connolly getting out of the car was that the colour was very, very similar, very close. And also Mary McAleese was also in purple.
Yeah, as if it was a plan.
It was almost as if it was a plan.
They also fitted in beautifully with the presidential blue walls that had been painted in St. Patrick's Hall.
And there was a certain level of coordination. I mean, Mary Robinson herself was sort of a claret jacket, which is still in the kind, that kind of spectrum. But I did think that was noticeable. And
and some of the religious leaders in their...
Well, I've been given details here that her inauguration outfit was from the Irish designer Louise Kennedy. President Connolly wore a knee-length purple wool coat, which cost €1,995, a matching purple silk blouse, €1,295 for a blouse, and purple wool wide leg trousers, you know, for €995. Stop, Flor. She also wore a pair of Louise Kennedy earrings, which cost €1,395. So the total came to €5,680.
And if she's inaugurated again in another 7 years' time, she might just wear the same outfit.
Sure, exactly. Sure. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, you're only going to exactly have, I mean, if you're going to spend some money in a big day out, I mean, this is going to be the one. And yeah. I would say pieces of those, knowing Catherine Connolly, will possibly pop up from time to time,
either
the jacket or the shirt or whatever. It won't be sort of preserved in a plastic in the back of the wardrobe in the Arras.
And it did look beautiful. And replying to your listener there who also mentioned the kids outside, it was beautiful footage. It ended with President Connolly greeting them. So the children from St. Francis National School nearby, and they were all lined up. They were waving flags, which at first glance looked to me like Italian flags, but it was just the shade of orange and red.
And they were in purple as well.
They were really excited. But what I noted was that she shook hands with or high-fived every single child. One of them apparently had brought a football, hoping for a few kicking up in the upper yard. Yeah. But I think the footwear wasn't up to it.
Okay. Exactly. Listener says, regarding President Connolly not mentioning Sabina Higgins, President Connolly mistakenly called Mary McAleese's husband, Nick, he is Martin, as President Connolly had just spoken about Mary Robinson and her husband, Nick. I think not mentioning Sabina was nerves or losing her page on the place on the page, nothing else. Well, the transcript that I have in the inauguration speech has it as Martin McAleese, not Nick, but doesn't mention Sabina Higgins on that. It's a listener who says the entire outfit still costs less than Maria Steen's handbag.
And a hell of a lot less than the bike shed.
Another one, would you dissect the price of a man's suit if they were being inaugurated, a listener says to me.
Absolutely. Yep.
Would you?
Of course I would. Yeah, I would absolutely want to know where it came from and how much it cost. Yep.
Okay, another one says, she's only president for half a minute. Here we go. And we're already talking about what she was wearing. I wonder, would we be discussing what Jim Gavin was wearing if he had one?
We would, and if his shirts were Charvet.
Exactly. And I think the point was, it was discussed in the fact that there was a symbolic sense to it, just in the way you talk about other parts, other sort of symbolic parts of the ceremony, mm-hmm. or the various gizmos involved.
But let's hear a little bit more. This is where she concluded her address, setting out her view of the role of the president.
I believe that the president should be a unifying president. A steady hand, yes, but also a catalyst for change, reflecting our desire for a republic that lives up to its name. I will embrace the role of the president with dignity, determination and courage.
And that's, I suppose, the last word to each of you on this.
I noted she has a steady hand. You know, the momentous occasion didn't ruffle her feathers in the slightest. I noticed that when she was signing the Declaration of Office and even holding the notes, she had a very steady hand.
Yeah, and particularly when the fanfare started, more or less before she'd actually finished her signature and scared the heart out of everybody in the hall. But I think as well, it's interesting that she uses the phrase unifying president and catalyst for change in the same sentence, because one could possibly argue that that's a slight contradiction in terms. It depends. We'll see, can she balance that, or will she be more of a unifying president or more of a catalyst for change?
There'll be a lot to watch, and in the coming weeks we'll see her choice for the Council of State and where she's planning on, you know, going for her first visit abroad and all sorts of things now will unfold.
Okay, listener says, can't believe you're talking this nonsense about what Catherine Connolly wore today. You wouldn't even comment on a male president's suit or the price, etc. Very tabloid, says Brian. Brian, I was prompted to do so by a text message that came in from one of our female listeners.
And there's nothing wrong with being tabloid.
And of course we would comment on what the men are wearing too. It's a big day.
Thank you very much. Well, what were you haven't commented on what any of the men were wearing. What was Catherine Connolly's husband wearing?
A suit.
Thank you very much. Lise Hand and Flor McCarty, co-hosts of the podcast Think You Know the President.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.